from the King James Version. Chapter 5. That's after chapter 4. John still should be after Luke, right? And there's a wonderful thing called a glossary. All right, y'all ready? All right. We should go old school apostle, Pentecostal. Read. Y'all remember that? After this. After that, I can stop right there. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto the man, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, man, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Hold right there, Dane. When Jesus. Tell your neighbor, when Jesus. When Jesus. Saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? He does this a lot. Jesus, before he heals people, he asks them, "Do you really want to be made whole? And, I mean, do you really want to be better? Because a whole lot of y'all be faking the funk, you know. You want to be off the bottle, but you're still at the bar. I mean, you can't. Yeah. I feel them already." Still getting telephone numbers and showing up in people's message box. You still, I think it's called sliding in the DM. And that ain't the big way it might be. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately, somebody say immediately, the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on that same day was the Sabbath. Verse 7 says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Sir, I have no man. But I want to talk this morning about the man that can. I want to talk this morning about the man that can. If you were here last Sunday, and for the preceding three Sundays, you know that we have spent most of the March and every March, because March is Women's History Month, talking about different strong women in the Bible. And last week I introduced you to two grandmothers, one of those grandmother being Jesus' grandmother by the name of Anne, and another grandmother by the name of Lois. While in Israel in last October, we had the honor of going to visit and tour the Church of St. Anne. The Church of St. Anne is named after Anne, Jesus' grandmother and Mary's mother. She is not mentioned in any of the 66 books of the Bible like Katherine Johnson, Leah. She is a hidden figure. But her church is located in Bethesda, outside and right around the corner from the pool of Bethesda. As soon as you go out of Anne's church and make a right turn within a few yards, there is the pool with an extra O of Bethesda. It's a big pool. That's why it's got an extra O. It's the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says that at this pool there are five porches, that there are five porches. There are five porches that the lame, the invalid, the palsy, those who could not walk, those who could not move, that they would lay on these porches. And the tale said and the legend went that whenever the water was stirred, that whoever got into the water first, that man or that woman was healed of their infirmity. When the water was stirred, the first person who got into the pool was healed of their infirmity. They believed that when the water was rustled, when the water began to move, when the water began to stir up, that whoever got into the pool first, they were healed of their infirmity. I said, when the water was stirred. Wait a minute, Damien. When the water was stirred, whoever got into the water first got healed. I said, whoever got into the water first got healed. When the water began to move, when the water began to blow, when the water began to shoot up, when the water was stirred, whoever got in first got the blessing. When the water moved, when the water got happy, when the water said something, whoever got into the water first got healed. When the water stirred, when the water moved, when the water clapped, when the water said amen, when the water shouted, in other words, whoever got in got the miracle. Well, so maybe one of the reasons why you ain't got your blessings, why you ain't got your miracle, why you ain't got what you've been asking God for is because maybe you ain't never been stirred. Maybe you ain't never been happy. Maybe you ain't never been moved. And don't tell me it's not a part of my personality. Go on, Dane. Next. Just come back to me, Dane. Don't tell me it's not a part of your personality. Because when your team be playing, you be shouting. If you hit that power ball, you be moving. So don't tell me any part of your personality. It don't take all that. It don't take all that. Yeah, sometimes for some of us, it takes all that because you don't know the hell some people have been going through on your own. And one of the reasons why they shout, one of the reasons why they clap, one of the reasons why they get moved is because they understand when they stir up the spirit, things begin to happen. When they stir up the spirit, people get saved. When they stir up the spirit, people get delivered. You got to stir some things up. This man had been sitting there for 38 years. The Bible does not say the man was 38 years old. The Bible just says that he had this infirmity for 38 years. We don't know how long he's been dealing with his issue. But we do know that it had to be really, really bad to the point of paralysis, because he could not get in the pool on his own. That he needed help to get in. That his paralysis was so bad that he had to have someone transfer him into the pool. that his physical incapabilities would not allow him on his own accord to get in the pool himself. He, in other words, I believe had to have some paralysis, doc. And there's some of you up in here and some of your friends, a lot of them, your families that got paralysis. They can move their bodies, but ain't nothing else moving in them. Every now and then I tell people, you know, you stuck on pause. We ain't got VCRs no more, but you used to play your VCR. You could put that thing on pause and it start scrambling and be stuck. And you couldn't get it off pause because some people's lives are stuck on pause. Can move with your legs, but your heart ain't going nowhere, your mind ain't going nowhere, and your soul ain't going nowhere, and you're not growing in the Lord Jesus Christ because you're stuck on Paul because you got to think that somebody else got to help you all the time. But great is he that is in me than is he. I wish I had a witness up in here. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself, Erica. You got to speak to yourself. You got to be your worst person. You got to be the best to yourself. And sometimes your worst enemy is your inner me. You ain't got outside enemies. You your own enemy. Because your life is paralysis and paused. So one day, help me, Holy Ghost. One day, Jesus was just passing by. Now all these people around this pool. Jesus doesn't know what he does know. Because he knows the hair on your head. And obviously he knew. He didn't know the man's name, but he probably knew his name. He knew that that guy had been there probably the longest. And he realized that these ain't no good saints in this here church. Because this man been here 38 years. Somebody been here 8 months and they done moved in front of the line. Don't you hate it when you be at a restaurant and the people who come in after you get their food before? That send me to the kitchen. You done been there a whole hour. They done got there 15 minutes and they done get your food. They done got your food before you got your. Don't you get upset? But you just forgot they just got an appetizer, but the real meal coming your way. Amen. You just sometimes, but. Ain't feeling y'all upset about it already. Just thinking of the fact that people get their food before you. And don't let them be another coloration. Y'all, oh Lord. Don't let them be another coloration. It's about to be on and popping up in here. And so he sees this man. And he asks the man, do you want to be made whole? And the man like us doesn't answer the question. He must be a part of the Trump administration. He doesn't answer the administration. But like us, he gives an excuse. He says, sir, I don't have nobody to help me get in the pool. That ain't what I asked you. I asked you, do you really want to be made whole? I don't have nobody to help me, to give me no assistance. My welfare check ain't come in. My social security check ain't come in. Ain't nobody will come pick me up the bus late. I don't have an app for Uber. I can't get in. Can't get there because I don't have no help, man. Do you really? And I really didn't come to talk about that, but I need to ask somebody today on behalf of Jesus. Do you really, really, really? Do you really, really, really want to be delivered from what you're dealing with? Do you really, really, really want to be made better? Do you really, really, really want that job you've been asking for, but you ain't putting the time? Ain't nobody want to say nothing when it comes to talk about yourself. But do you really want to be made whole? In other words, Jesus is telling this man, you don't have to get wet to get well. Yeah. Sometimes you ain't got to go through everything other people got to go through. Foaming at the mouth, running around the church. I know that, but you got to make some sound. You got to be stirred up every now and then. You got to be stirred up every now and then when the Spirit of the Lord is hot, when the Spirit of the Lord is moving like it's moving right now. I just can't understand. Nobody can't feel them right now. When you got to stir some things up sometime. You got to stir some things up sometime when something is going on in the atmosphere. And you got to have enough Spirit in you, enough Holy Ghost in you to understand when something is happening in the Spirit. And because Jesus came by, they didn't need the water to get stirred up. Because when he stops by, everything and everybody that has breath ought to be stirred up. But it begins with you. Jesus is teaching this man that it ain't the water, it's your belief. It's your faith. Do you believe in me and who I am and in the power of my might? I don't want to hold you too long. I know the games begin in a few hours. But something happened on last Sunday. Oh my God, something happened miraculous on last Sunday up in here. If you were here last Sunday doing the announcements, I announced that one of our members was in Washington, D.C. He had been on the kidney transplant list for 10 years. And I announced last Sunday that he was in D.C. in preparation for his operation for a new kidney. And if you were here last Sunday, I didn't have to say nothing. The organ didn't have to say nothing. The choir didn't have to say nothing. Erica didn't have to say nothing. But once I announced last Sunday that he was in D.C. getting ready for his operation, everybody, without nobody propping you, without nobody encouraging you, without having to have a holy cheerleader, everybody got on their feet and started praising the Lord. Now, last Sunday, I didn't tell you his name. And I didn't tell you his name because even though it's all about God and God gets the glory, I don't tell people's name until I get their permission. You ain't never got to have to worry about this pastor telling your business until I get permission to tell your story. Because your story is not for you. Your story is for his glory. But in protecting your issues and protecting your problems and protecting you, I don't tell your business until I get permission to tell what God has done in your life so that God can get the glory for your story. Let me say that one more time. I got to get your permission to give God the glory for your story. But if you were here last week, you realize that something happened up here in the atmosphere, that everybody was just so excited. But now I got permission to give his name. He's Deacon James McQueen, and he has sat in that corner like the man at the pool of Bethesda for 10 years waiting on a kidney. They got the call on Friday that we think we had found you a kidney. We need you up in Washington, D.C. as soon as possible. Stay right there. Don't you go nowhere. Stay right there. Hold your mule. Don't you sit down. McQueen had been on the kidney list 10 years. Going through dialysis for I know the last 5. Here is Far over here with his big mouth. Was on the liver transplant list for less than a year. McQueen been on the list 10 years. Here is Far in the same corner, was on the liver transplant list less than a year. I would have moved my seat. For some of y'all, you've been upset and been mad because you can't understand why I've been on the list 10 years. Far been on the list less than a year, but he got his blessing and I ain't got mine. I'm trying to help somebody. McQueen was on the list 10 years. Sunday. He's in Bible study every Sunday. His wife took him to every appointment, took him to every dialysis session. They were friends with the Fars. Some of y'all wouldn't even talk to the Fars no more, because you'd be jealous of what God is doing for some other folk. But I'm here to tell somebody, if God has stopped by your neighbor's house, he's in the neighborhood. And if that means you got to stay by the pool for 38 years, your blessing is on the way. Well, stay right there. Friday they get the call. We need you in D.C. as soon as possible. A 14-year-old boy has lost his life. And we think his kidney will be a match. They get there Saturday morning. And if you know anything, just because it's a kidney and just because it's an organ don't mean it's a match. They got to run series and series of tests to make sure that that organ will fit in your body. It was not until 1:30 on Sunday afternoon that they got the word from the doctor, it's a go. After they realized that it was a good kidney, and after they realized the blood, I thought I was going to get some Holy Ghost good. After they realized the blood, I said, after they realized the blood, after they realized the blood was a match, they decided that they could do surgery on McQueen. And at 6:30 that afternoon, he had his first urination, because that means that the kidney was working. You know why it happened? Because his family was down here praying in Columbia, South Carolina. His church family was down here praying in advance for his miracle, because somebody got stirred up at 11:30 in the morning so surgery could happen at 1:30 in the afternoon, and the kidney started working at 6:30. I wish I had a witness up in here that can give God praise, that when you praise God down here, the blessings, I said the blessings, I said the blessings of God. Say yes! Say yes! If you know what he can do, if you know that he can heal, if you know that he can deliver, no longer have you got to stay by the pool for 38 years. I know a man that's got a plan for your life. Anybody know him? I said, anybody know him? I said, anybody know him? I said, is there anybody know him? Anybody besides me know that that man, his name is Jesus, and he is the man with say yes. Give God praise. Give God praise today. Give God praise today. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your infirmity might be, but there is a man, and he has a plan for your life. And we give God all the praise for his report. No matter what the doctor says, whose report will you believe? Well, I talked to McQueen on Monday morning, and I said, Deaconess McQueen, I know God did it, but I need you to tell me what happened practically. I know God did it. It's all God. But tell me what practically happened. And she said, well, Pastor, first of all, I give God all the praise. And Pastor, I want to thank you and our church family for praying for us. We've been on the list down with a doctor in Augusta for 10 years. But we got family up here in the D.C. area. And the family in the D.C. area saw a news report about this African-American nephrologist. That's a kidney doctor in the D.C. area who was specializing in organ transplant. Well, my family called the doctor. My family called the doctor, and they told him about McQueen and how long he'd been on the list in Augusta. And they added him to the list in D.C. And that doctor doctor promised that he would find us a kidney within 6 months. And you know what happened? The doctor did it. I said, the doctor did it. Not the one in D.C., but I said, not the one in D.C., but the doctor who's never lost a case. That new doctor, that doctor that healed your body, that doctor that set you free, that doctor that delivered you, that doctor got the queen on the list and got him a new kidney. And we give God all the praise. Come on, give God your best praise that you might have right now.